Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos class learning. Baruch Hashem, more than a year already of this Chabura's founding, and we are Bli Ein Hara going strong with Divrei Torah every Thursday evening. I hope that everyone finds it enriching and as beneficial as I do, not only for the week, but for your connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's a nice way to go into Shabbos as well. Tonight we thank Chana Wasserman and her family for their generous sponsorship of this year. It is the Zecher Nishmas Chana Wasserman wrote her mother-in-law, Bina Bas Aryeh HaKohen Alaha HaShalom. She was born in New York City in 1931 during the Great Depression. She was the youngest of four sisters, one of whom died of rheumatic heart disease while she was a teenager. In addition, her mother died when she was only 15 years old. In spite of these very serious, difficult, and sobering life challenges, my mother-in-law had an incredibly positive outlook on life. Chana Wasserman further wrote, one of the character traits that most exemplified her mother-in-law was her genuine kindness and giving nature. She helped many people in need and did not draw attention to herself. She was known as Grandma B, and conversations with Grandma B were primarily about the person she was speaking with and not about herself, which is a tremendous, tremendous mida of anivus and empathy. She was wise and insightful, and she was able to share her midos, her gifts, with us in a loving, caring way. Her life attitude, I love this, was the little engine that could. And the little engine that could always said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Remember when he gets over the mountain, he says, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. And that Mida has been passed down to her children and her grandchildren. It is her 24th Yahrzeit this Shabbos, Chaf Beis Av. Grandma B, Chana wrote, continues to be sorely missed, but her invaluable legacy lives on in our hearts. May our Shir serve as an Aliyah Neshama for Bina Bas Aryeh HaKohen Alaha HaShalom on the occasion of her Yahrzeit this Shabbos, Chaf Beis Av. So we are going to learn. So how do I choose the Mishnah that we are going to speak about? I try and do Minyani Diyoma. So this too is Minyani Diyoma, I should say Minyani Parsha. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing to the handout that I made for you. Let me just find where it is. Could you see the top sponsor by Chana? Yeah, okay. So the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, and I will tell you soon why I chose this Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, and I've taught this Mishnah, by the way. However, I usually focus on the end of the Mishnah. So this is a chance to focus on the middle of the Mishnah. Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, who was Rabbi first of all? Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau writes, more briefly, I'm just quoting two sentences. Who was Rabbi? So Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau and Yachal Yisrael writes that Rabbi was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. He was the seventh Nasi in the dynasty of Hillel. He was born on the very day that Rabbi Akiva died, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi became one of the Talmidim of the five new students of Rabbi Akiva. That's where he studied. He was born on the day Rabbi Akiva died, and about him, the sages say, quoting from Kohalas, Vizarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh. The sun rose and the sun set. The sun rose refers to the life and the birth, I should say, the birth and life of Rabbi. The sun set refers to Rabbi Akiva. So, Rabbi Omer, what does Rabbi teach us? Ezehi derech yishar sheiver lo ha'adam. What is the straight path? How should a person be yashar? That you should choose for yourself. Kol shehi tiferes lo osev, tiferes lo min adam. Whatever is honorable for him and gains him people's respect. That's teaching number one. Teaching number two of Rabbi. Veheve zahir, and I bolded this for you. If you look on my screen, you'll see it's bold. Veheve zahir b'mitzvah kala k'vachamura. You should be very on guard. You should be very careful. You should be very cautious with a light mitzvah, just like with a weighty mitzvah. Why? She'ein ato yodea matan scharn shel mitzvahs. You do not know the reward of the mitzvah. You don't know God's scale. You don't know what gets more, the heavy mitzvah or the light mitzvah, the serious mitzvah or the not so serious mitzvah. Teaching number two. Furthermore, v'havei machshev hefseid mitzvah k'neged schar. You should contemplate when you do the mitzvahs the loss of a mitzvah in contrast to its reward. So the loss of a mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah and you're going to lose out on something, but think about the reward that you'll get for being involved in the mitzvah. Uschar aveira k'neged hefseid. You should think about the loss that comes with an aveira against its reward. So it may feel good to speak lashon hara. That's the reward of the aveira in the immediate moment. You get something off your chest. Of course, the loss is tremendous. You have just lost a portion, Rechman, son of Olam Haba, for the lashon hara you just spoke. Histakol b'shlosh advarim. So I have taught this Mishnah before, and usually I focus on the end. Here's the end. Histakol b'shlosh advarim. It's very appropriate at the end as we approach Chodesh Elul, which is next week. Not next week. Next week is Shabbos Mevarchim. Chodesh Elul is after next Shabbos Mevarchim. Histakel b'shlosha dvarim. We should pay attention to three things. Ve'ein ata bali de aveira. If you pay attention to these three things, you won't come to sin. Da mala mala mimach. You should know what is above you. What is above you? Ayin ro'a, an eye that sees. If you pay attention to these three things, you'll really never sin. If you really live with the reality that Hashem is always watching me, ayin ro'a, always. Everything I'm doing, Hashem is watching. But ozen shamas, every single thing I speak is being heard. Why would I ever speak slander? Why would I ever speak curse words? Why would I ever speak, that's the opposite of Lashon Nekiyah, Nivol Peh. Why would I ever speak those things if I really believed and if I really knew, if I was cognizant at every moment that Hashem is watching, Hashem is listening. So that really, the end of the Mishnah is extremely appropriate as we come to Elul, when on Yom Kippurim, the Sefer HaChaim, the Sefer HaMavis, Psuchim Lefanav, the Book of the Living, the Book of the Dead are open for the Ribono Sha'olam. And you have to know that God is watching everything you do, God is listening to everything you do, and everything we do is being recorded. For the purposes of tonight's shiur, what I chose to focus on was the teaching that is in bold. Vehevei zahir b'mitzvah kala v'cham kivachambura she'ena tayodea matan scharn shel mitzvos. You should be very careful when it comes to the performance and the fulfillment of a light mitzvah, just like as a heavy mitzvah she'ena tayodea matan scharn shel mitzvos. So I'm just going to give an example. Okay, a light mitzvah might be while you're giving tzedakah to smile at the pauper outside the grocery store. He doesn't look 100%. He looks lonely. He doesn't have family. You thank God that you're not in his position. You think to myself, I should always be the giver. You actually give the tzedakah, so you give a smile as well. A heavy mitzvah is Yom Kippurim. So if I don't give a smile, okay, so I didn't give a smile, but who's going to eat on Yom Kippur if you're mentally and physically able to fast on Yom Kippur? No one, because we know that Yom Kippur is a very weighty mitzvah. But the Mishnah tells you, you should be just as careful with the light mitzvah as you are with the weighty, heavy, important, I'm putting that in quotes, mitzvah. She'ena tayodea matan schar and shal mitzvah. You don't know the matan schar, the reward of mitzvahs. So why did I choose this Mishnah? Because I said I want to do in Yanni Diom, and then I really said I want to do in Yanni Parsha. I try and choose the Mishnah if we're not in the middle of a series based on something that's upcoming. So why did I choose this? Who knows? Why did I choose this? I know you can't talk. I mean, you could talk, but no one will hear you. Why did I choose this? So maybe some of you know already why I chose this, because this week's Parsha is Parshas. What's this week's Parsha? Parshas Ekev. And let's look at the very first pasuk in the parsha, Sefer Devarim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis. So my mind is summer in Chumash usually, and when I prepare my shiur, everything's in Torah. Hafoch ba vafoch ba dekul aban. I thought, wow, this is really interesting. This is the first pasuk of the parsha and the first Rashi. We're going to look at it, and this Mishnah seems to be talking about the same idea as the first pasuk with Rashi. So now that we looked at the Mishnah, let us now look at the pasuk with Rashi. Sefer Devarim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis. You could see my screen. Yes, ladies? Thank you. V'haya, and it will be, first pasuk of our parsha, Ekev tishmun esa mishpatim e'ela. If you will listen to these mishpatim, these mitzvos, these statutes, ushmartem, and you will guard, v'asisim osam, and you will do them. V'sham, so it's an if then. If you do your part by keeping the mitzvos, then v'shamar Hashem alakach alucha esabris v'asachased asher nishbal v'asach, Hashem will do his part. And he will guard the covenant. If we guard God's covenant, then he will guard the covenant that he made and the kindness that he made, that he swore to our forefathers. You go in the ways of Hashem. Hashem, so to speak, will not so to speak. Hashem will keep his part of the promise that he made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that he swore to your forefathers. So Rashi says, oh, I forgot to underline the Rashi in my handout. So Rashi tells, very famous Rashi, why does it say V'haya Ekev Tishmun? If it wants to say it will be that you will listen, so the parasha should open with V'haya Im Shamoa Tishmu. In fact, we have that later in the parasha, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, what we call the second paragraph of the Shema, V'haya im shemo tishmu al mitzvos ha'esher anochi mitzavcha eschem hayam. It's also an if-then, if you look at the second paragraph of the Shema. So what is Ekev? It's a very strange choice of wording for if, or because you will listen, then God will do his part. Perhaps you will listen, then God will do his part. So just tell me, Im Shema Tishmu. Ekev is a weird word. We were introduced already to the word Ekev, or the root word, all the way back by Yaakov Avinu, our first patriarch, When Yaakov is born in Parshas Toldos, Perechav Hei, so when he comes out, V'yado Akev ba'achezes, V'yado ochezes ba'akev achiv. His hand is grasping the heel of his brother. When Esav comes out, Yaakov's hand is holding on. Why Yaakov should have really been born first? How so? So Rashi explains that if there's twins, it's like a test tube. What you put in first is going to come out second. Think of beans, okay? Two pieces of barley. I'm sorry to use barley, but we're talking about the amazing miracle of human creation. But if you have a test tube and you put in piece of barley A and piece of barley B in the test tube is only wide enough to hold two pieces of barley. So you put in piece of barley A, then you put piece of barley B. What's going to come out first? What has to come out first, B or A? Hello? B, it has to come out first. But which was put in first, i.e. which was conceived first, embryo A or embryo B? What was put into the uterus first? Embryo A. So Rashi says, why was Yaakov holding onto the heel of Esav? Because by birthright, he should have been born first. He was put into his mother's womb first. Esav blocked him from coming out, but really he wanted to be the firstborn by right, and then he would not have to have, in Perichav Zion, the switching and the dressing up and the brachos, and Esav hates him, and it would have been his by right. So we have this idea of Akev, which means heel. That is why Yaakov, our forefather, is called Yaakov. He was holding onto the heel, H-E-E-L, of his brother. Why does the Torah use, it will be, if you will listen to my mitzvahs, with this root word Akev? So Rashi says, V'haya Akev Tishmun, it will be if you will listen. Im ha-mitzvos kalosh adam dash ba'akevav Tishmun. Ah, the Torah is telling you that you need to listen not only to the weighty mitzvahs, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Taharas HaMishpacha, kosher food. You don't only have to listen to the weighty mitzvos. If you listen, God is saying, to the light mitzvos, the easy mitzvos, that person stamps on with their heel, that are stomped upon with their heel, in other words, disregarded, cheapened, mocking, if you listen to those, then, Bishamar Hashem, says Rashi, Yishmar Lecha Havtachaso, it's a promise that Hashem will pay us back, not only if we do the big ones, but if we do especially the small ones that people disregard and tread upon, that's what I was looking for, tread upon with their heel, stomp upon, not stamp, I said stamp, I meant stomp. Im HaMitzos Kalosh Adam Dashba Akevav, if you listen to the light mitzvos that a person stomps upon with his heel, then Hashem will reward you. So I thought, and I'm going to show you Baruch Hashem, Shekivanti. So I thought it was related to this Mishnah. Have a zahir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura, she'ena tayodeh matan scharen shal mitzvos. I thought it was related to this teaching of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, because he teaches us in Pirkei Avos, you should be as on guard, as careful, when it comes to a light mitzvah, as you are with a serious mitzvah. You don't know the reward of the mitzvahs, and it reminded me of the first pasuk with Rashi. So Rashi, more often than not, is quoting another source. Usually Rashi's not giving us his own ha'ara, sometimes he is, but usually he's quoting the Medrash, or the Sifrei, or the Gemara, Sefer Hasidim. Rashi's quoting something that is predates Rashi, and he's bringing you their opinion. So Rashi to Parshas Ekev, the Rashi we just went through, it's the, referring to the light mitzvos that are trampled upon with a person's heel. If you listen to those, if you're careful with those, everyone disregards them, but you're careful with them instead, Hashem will reward us. An example of that is the Chavetz Chaim used to say that Lashon, Shmiras HaLashon is a mace mitzvah. Sad. Shmiras HaLashon is a mace mitzvah. It's like a play on words, okay? But mace mitzvah in this case means it's a dead mitzvah. People don't care about it anymore. It's something that is totally trampled upon with a person's heel. So the Torah says, if you're makbid on those, then Hashem will reward you. So I went to look up Rashi's source, okay? I went to my bookshelf, my Medrash Tanchuma. I only use Sifaria to copy and paste it into my document. My Medrash is right there on the bookshelf. I put it back after I learned through it. So Medrash Tanchuma Ekev, Simon Aleph. And you'll see why I was so happy when I went to pick up the Medrash. I wanted to see what Rashi's source is. So Baruch Hashem, I'll tell you why I was so happy. I can't wait to tell you. It's two paragraphs of Medrash. We're going to go through them. But look here. What does the Medrash say when commenting on V'haya Ekev Tishmun? Ah, Chana Wasserman, a sponsor, smiling. So what does the Medrash say? So I'm learning through the Medrash. 1 second. Okay, I'm learning through the Medrash. Okay, this is my Medrash Tanchuma, two volumes. I'm learning through the Medrash, Ekev, Simon Aleph. And what do I see, lo and behold? Have a zahir b'mitzvah kala k'v'mitzvah chamura. So Hashem is saying, Michards, you're definitely on the right path, because I was miskaving to do this Mishnah because of the first pasuk in the Chumash. Apparently, that's what it was meant to be. But let's now start at the beginning, not at the end of paragraph 2. So the Medrash Tanchuma tells us, v'haya ekev, it will be when you will listen, it will be if you will listen. But literally, it means it will be when you stomp upon it with your heel, or don't stomp upon it with your heel. Zasha amar hakasov. So the Medrash begins by quoting a pasuk from Tehillim. Lama ira bimeira. David HaMelech says, why should I be afraid in the days of evil, in the bad days? Avon akeva yisubeni. The sins of my heel will surround me. So David HaMelech asks, why should I be afraid? This is how the Medrash begins in the Siman. Why should I be afraid in the days of evil? I'll tell you why, says David. The sins of my heel surround me. What does this mean? Continues the Medrash. Yisparach Shmo Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shenasan Torah Li Yisrael, the blessed name be he of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who gave the Torah to Israel. Sheyesh ba sheish mitzvos ushlosh esrei mitzvos, that we have sheish meos, I said it wrong, I'm sorry. Sheyesh ba sheish meos ushlosh esrei mitzvos, the Rabban Shalom gave us the Torah. And we have 630 mitzvos to Arisa. Veyesh bahen kalos v'chamuros, and there are in them light or easy mitzvos, and there are more weighty or more difficult or heavy mitzvos, and because the Torah includes mitzvos kalos, light mitzvos, easy mitzvos, what's a mashkiach? A mashkiach is someone who supervises, a mashkiach is someone who pays attention. And the Torah includes heavy, weighty mitzvos that everyone knows about Yom Kippur. Everyone knows about Shabbos. Even if you're non-affiliated, you don't keep Shabbos, you know about Shabbos. These are weightier mitzvos. But there are also mitzvos, she'ein b'nei adam mashkichim behen, continues Medrash Tanchuma. There are mitzvos that a person does not supervise, does not put under his guidance or under his jurisdiction, like a mashkiach who's supposed to be watching all the time. These light mitzvos are disregarded. That means you're not giving them Hashkacha. Ella, excuse me, Shemashlichin osan tachas ikveh. Not only don't you pay attention to them, but in essence, you're stomping upon them with your, you just throw them away. Mashlichin osan, you throw them away. Tachas ikveh. And under their heel, klomar shehin kalos, they're just light. Laficha chaya David misyere miyamadin. So David HaMelech was afraid of the day of judgment. And our neshamas ascend to the Olam HaEmes, Admei Vesem Shana. We're not only going to be asked if you kept Yom Kippur, and you're not only going to be asked if you gave tzedakah, and you're not only going to be asked how was your Shmir Shabbos, you're going to be asked about the light mitzvahs as well. Did you smile at the pauper? Were you patient? Did you have a kind word? Did you do the light ones and the heavy ones? Klomar Shehin Kalos. Oh, I said that right. I'm sorry. Therefore, David HaMelech was afraid of the day of judgment. And he said, Ribono Sha'ola, master of the world, Eini misyari min mitzvos hachamura shevetorah. Shehin chamuros. David HaMelech said, I'm not afraid of the weighty mitzvahs because they're weighty. In other words, we do our best to keep Yom Kippur as best as possible kahalacha. We hopefully do our best to keep Shabbos, or certain aspects of Shabbos, I should say, to the best of our ability. Because they're so weighty, we know they're very important. I would say that every from home, and even some on the spectrum, less, I don't want to even say less from, I don't know what to call it, on the spectrum of Orthodoxy, Taras HaMishpacha is very, very important. It's very weighty, and we know that. So David HaMelech says, I'm not afraid on the Yom HaDin that those mitzvahs are going to get me in trouble because they're so serious. I know they're serious, and I approach them with the seriousness that's required. Mima ani misyarei, continues the Medrash, as if David HaMelech is talking. So what am I afraid of? Mina mitzvos hakalos, from the light, insignificant mitzvos. Shema avarti al achas mehen, maybe I transgressed one of them. I may not even know. Because it's a mitzvah that's thrown under the heel of man. It is mashlichinos and tachas ikvein. Shama avarti al achas mehem, ima sisi, imloa sisi. Did I do it? Didn't I do it? Mipnei shahaisa kala, because it was so light, because it was not significant, perhaps it was disregarded. Va'ata amarta, but you, Ribono Shalom, said, and you can imagine when I was in my medrash and I came up to this line, I was Baruch Hashem. I said, thank you, Hashem. I had a big smile, because now medrash tanchuma, on Parshas Ekev, Siman Aleph, quotes the Mishnah we're doing tonight. True story. Chas v'sham. I wouldn't make that up. I went to the Mishnah first. Then I went to Chumash with Rashi. Then I went to Medrash Tanchuma. What does the Medrash say? And Yanei Diyoma, have a Zahir, but Mitzvah Kalik, but Mitzvah Chamur, and David HaMelech is still talking. He says, you know, I'm afraid I disregarded those light, easy, non-significant mitzvahs, but you, Hashem, told us in Pirkei Avos, here, b'mitzvah kalak v'mitzvah chamura. A person must be very careful with a light, with not heavy mitzvah, just like with a weighty mitzvah. Lekach amar. Therefore, David HaMelech says, lama ira b'meira, like the pasuk the Medrash began with. From what do I fear in the days of evil? Avon akeva yisubeni, from Yisovivuni. The sins of my heel are what will surround me biyam hadin. The insignificant mitzvahs, I thought they weren't insignificant. I saw as insignificant and I trampled upon them. V'haya ekev tishmun, says the Medrash. That's what it means, v'haya ekev tishmun. Furthermore, the Medrash continues. Zasha amar akasav, another pasuk from Tim. Oh, so I want you to, I didn't make the footnote big enough. The Medrash is now going to expand upon these two psukim from Tehillim. So I want to just make it a little bigger so you could see. Okay, I made the psukim bigger from Tehillim. The Medrash is now going to expound upon these two psukim from Perek Yud Tes of Tehillim. So before we go into the Medrash and continue, let's look at the psukim. I put them on my screen for you. Tehillim 19:11, Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hanechmadim mizahav, David HaMelech is talking about the mitzvos. They are more desired than gold. Umi pazrav, and from fine gold. Umi sukim midvash, and the mitzvos are even sweeter than honey. Vinofes tzufim, and they're even sweeter than honey that drips from the honeycomb. So David HaMelech is talking about how precious the mitzvahs are. They're better than gold. They're better than fine gold. They're sweeter than honey. They're sweeter of the honey that drips from the honeycomb. Pasuk Yud Beis in Tehillim. Gam avdecha nizhar behem. And you should know, Hashem, your servant is very careful with the mitzvahs. Bishimaram ekev rav. Here's that word ekev again, which is why the Medrash is now going to be quoting on these psukim. In guarding these mitzvahs, there is great reward. But the word used is once again the word of the hour, literally, pun intended, Akev. So now let's go back to the Medrash. Now I'm going to make this smaller again. You saw, it doesn't need to be so big. Let's go back to our Medrash. Okay. Medrash continues. Zasha Amar HaKasuv. Now the Medrash quotes a pasuk we just saw. Hanechmadim, I'm up here on my screen. Hanechmadim mizav umi pazrav. The mitzvos are finer, are more desirable than gold and then fine gold. Ukesiv, and David HaMelech further says, Gam avdecha nizhar behem, your servant, meaning me, David HaMelech Hashem, is very on guard with these mitzvos. Bishimaram ekev rav. In guarding these mitzvos, there is great reward. Now the Medrash is going to comment on these two psukim from Tehillim in explaining Ekev Tishmun, V'hayim Ekev Tishmun. Ba'u re'e ha'eich David Mishabeach. One second, please. Where are you going?
I'm going to.
Okay, drive safely. Love you, sweetie. Ba'u re'e ha'eich. It's raining, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, be careful. Text me when you get there, please. Ba'u re'e ha'eich David Mishabeach es divrei Torah. Come see how David HaMelech praises the words of Torah. Sha'amar. The pasuk says, Tehillim, David HaMelech, Hanechmadim mizav umipazrav, they are more desirable than gold and from fine gold. Velo od, and not only that, Ela she'em b'chol minei tuvua chaviva misolis nikia. Not only that, but it's so praiseworthy, the mitzvahs, that you don't have from all kinds of produce. There's no more produce that's better, no more produce that's not more desirable from fine flour. Clean, fine flour. Shehit safa bepeh. I'm not exactly sure. My Medrash Tanchuma does not have English. I'm not exactly sure what that means. It's praising the trade of this fine flour. Maybe it's pleasurable in the mouth. Shehit safa bepeh. Okay? I'm not exactly sure what it means, but it's a positive trait of this fine flour. V'divrei Torah chavivin mimena, and divrei Torah are even finer. I don't know. Think of Suf Ganiyah on Hanukkah from Allen's Bakery. With chocolate coating glaze and custard inside, and such a soft dough that melts in your mouth. Torah is much better. V'divrei Torah chavivim mimena. Torah is even better than that fine flour that melts in your mouth. Shen ne'emar, like David HaMelech said, u'musukim midvash v'nofet sufim. It's even better than honey. It's better than honey from honeycombs. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, im tomar, if you will say, she'em b'chol minei hamashkin misukin min advash, if you will say, from all kinds of liquids, drinks, there's nothing sweeter than honey. V'divrei Torah misukin mikulan. But you should know that the sweetest drink that you can imbibe is divrei Torah, shekasuv behen, like the Torah says, umisukim midvash v'nofet sufim. They are sweeter than honey, the words of Torah, and sweeter than fine honey. Amar David lifnei Kosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech said before Kosh Baruch Hu, remember this is the Medrash still, Simon Aleph to Parshas Eikav. Amar David lifnei Kosh Baruch Hu, so David HaMelech said before the Almighty, Ribon Ha'olami, Master of the World, Shema Mipnei Shehen Misukin Midvash, Basarti Behen Chas V'Shalom. Maybe because they're sweeter than honey, Basarti, from the word Lahasir, I removed those mitzvahs from Michas V'Shalom. What's David HaMelech saying? Sometimes something is so sweet, it's not palpable. Something sweeter than honey, you might think, how could I even ingest that? You know, there's a limit, to, even if you have a sweet tooth, to how sweet something could be. So David HaMelech says, you know, because they're so, so sweet, sweeter than honey, maybe I remove them, chas v'sham. Ella, no, said David, gam avdecha nizhar bahem b'shemarem ekev rav, mitzvos kalos. No, you should know, Hashem, I didn't remove any mitzvos from upon myself. Gam avdecha nizhar bahem, parak yotas pasuk yabez of telim. Your servant is very careful with them, b'shemarem ekev. Kevrav, guarding them leads to great reward. What kind of mitzvos are we talking about? Mitzvos kalos. So maybe you think to just discard them. Remember, we already saw in the beginning of the Medrash, in the first paragraph, these are the mitzvos that a person is mashliach tachas ikvei, and you just throw it under your heel. David Melch says, not me. Gam avdechan izhar behem, your servant's very careful. Bishimarm ekev, here's the word. Ekevrav, by guarding them, there's great reward. By guarding which mitzvos? Those mitzvos that go under the heel of a person. The mace mitzvos, like the Chafetz Chaim says. Mitzvos kalos, what you think is maybe not so weighty. Lefichach, therefore, kisiv, the Pasuk says. Marov tuvcha sher tzafanta lire'echa. How abundant is your goodness that you have hidden away for those who fear you, God. Zohi scharen shal mitzvos kalos. A Medrash concludes by telling you how abundant is the goodness that God has hidden away for those who fear him. We are referring to the abundant goodness that God has hidden away, the reward that Hashem has hidden away for mitzvos kalos, what we call easy mitzvos, that a person might disregard and throw under their heel. So once again, before I stop screen sharing and go to commentary to Pirkei Avos, we began in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. We're learning Rebbe's teaching. It's a much longer Mishnah. We're focusing on Havei Zahir B'mitzvah Kalak V'chamura. You should be very on guard from a lightweight mitzvah, just like a heavy mitzvah. She'ena tayodei matan tzcharen shemitzvah. You're not God. You don't know his cheshbonos. You don't know what gets a bigger reward. The big ones or the small ones. Then we went to Parshas Ekev, first Pasuk, we went with Rashi, and then we went through the whole Medrash Tanchuma, Siman Aleph, and we see that David HaMelech says, I'm afraid of the Yom HaDin, not the heavy ones. I tried my best, they're heavy, I understand, I appreciate the weightiness of those major mitzvahs, but what am I afraid of? The minor mitzvahs, and you shouldn't think I threw anything away, not because it's sweeter than honey, I didn't throw it away, and it's better than the finest donut that melts in your mouth on a sufganiyah on Chanukah, it's finer than fine flour, I didn't throw anything away, we went through the Medrash. Before I go to the first source, I just want you to look right at the bottom of my screen, at this pasuk from Kohelas. So it's the very end of Kohelas, second to last pasuk. And what does King Shlomo tell us? Sof devar hakol nishma. You want to know what the end is? At the end of the day, everything is heard. I can't highlight the whole thing for some reason. Here we go. Sof devar hakol nishma. At the end of the day, it's all heard. And what's the truth at the end of the day? What are we here for? Es ha'alokim yara v'es mitzvos av shemar kizeh kol ha'adam. The reason I'm bringing this pasuk, which seems to be randomly put in to my handout, which is not, is because I'm now going to be quoting from the Sefer Ethics from Sinai by Mr. Irving M. Bunim, based on the, he would give Pirkei Avos lectures for many years. Remember, a few months ago I read his biography. I was quoting from a lot in different classes. It was amazing, a fire in a soul. If you didn't read it, you should really read it. Happens to be Feldheim as well. So this series, Ethics from Sinai, is based on Irving Bunim, Zichron al Recha, all of his Pirkei Avos classes that he gave for years, and he has very, very beautiful insights, also published by Feldheim. So the reason I'm putting this on the screen is because he's going to refer to this pasuk in Kohelas. So of devar kol nishma es halokim yirei ve'es mitzvos av shemar ki zeh kol ha'adam. The entirety of man is to fear God and to do his mitzvos. I'm going to stop screen sharing now. Okay? And now I'm going to go to Mr. Irving Bunim on Avos. It's very, very beautiful. And he gives us a very clear explanation of what a light, because this whole time you might be thinking to yourself, what's a light mitzvah versus a heavy mitzvah? So he's going to give us a very good example and an illustration of how to understand the Mishnah. So the Mishnah has told us, have a zahir b'mitzvah kala kivachambura, she'ena tayodea matan tzcharin shal mitzvos. Here we go. Mr. Uvring Bunim says or teaches as follows. In just about every area of life, you have some things that are very important and extremely serious, while others are of little importance. For example, the schach on the sukkah, and your arba meaning being kosher, is very important. If you go for fancy paper plates and they're out of one style that you want and you get a different style that's still nice, is it worth being upset that they didn't have exact, I don't know, maybe some of you would be, Michal, or it's definitely not. Is it worth being upset that they didn't have the exact pattern you had in mind? You need the sukkah to look nice. So you still got the very nice, I shouldn't have said paper, the very nice hard plastic. They're beautiful now. My sisters-in-law use them. They have beautiful plates. So they didn't have blue and green, so you had to get lavender and black. So are you going to be upset? Maybe some people would be. I hope we're mature enough to not be. And just about every year of life, some things are very important, and some things are of little importance. When we consider mitzvos, he writes, we might think the same about them. Some are very highly significant. They are pillars that uphold Judaism. Others are relatively minor. How will we decide which are the important ones and which are the minor? It could seem plausible to see how hard or easy it is to perform a mitzvah. So maybe you want to weigh the weighty ones versus the light ones based on the amount of exertion required to perform the mitzvah. The more difficult the mitzvah you might propose, the more important it must be. Maybe that's how we define light and heavy. Some mitzvos are easy. And here he gives a perfect example of this Mishnah's teaching. Ready? Devarim Perachav Base. Consider, the Pasuk tells you, if you chance to find a bird's nest before you on the road, in the tree, or on the ground, and with young or eggs, Vaha'im Rovetzet, and the mother, oh, I think I saw Shani Gerlitz here. Shani Gerlitz, before I saw her, she's still here with us, yes. She fulfilled this mitzvah probably before COVID. She sent me a picture of the mother and the Shani, I hope okay, was saying this. It's amazing you got to do the mitzvah. It was in the parking lot of where she works. It was during COVID, okay, so she had this chus during COVID of doing the mitzvah, and it was in the parking lot of the hospital where she works, and she asked the Rav exactly how to do it, and she took a long spoon, and it was in the middle of the parking lot. She said, Baruch Hashem, just no one was there at the time that she did the mitzvah. Could you imagine what the non-Jews, or even the non-affiliated, might think and call PETA, animal cruelty? Quickly, there's a lady with a long spoon chasing away the mother to take the eggs for herself. So nobody saw she got to fulfill the mitzvah. So how hard is it to fulfill the mitzvah? I mean, you have to stop the shayla, you have to know what you're doing, but like, is it like preparing for a three-day yontif? Is it like preparing even for Shabbos? Is it like preparing for the mikvah? You pick up the egg with the spoon, you put it back down. Okay, shayla, I did it. Very, very nice. Now, surely, says Mr. Irving Bunim, this does not involve any great difficulty. There are no obstacles to overcome. On the other hand, consider the mitzvah kabed es avicha ve'asimecha kasher tzivcha shem elokecha. It's both in Yisro and v'eschanan. Honor your father and mother. This is perhaps one of the most difficult mitzvahs to perform. It also is a lifetime mitzvah. There are ways to have taught before on kabed es avicha ve'asimecha naseres hadibros in depth. Text base, and even after a parent is nifter, the child is not potter. Obviously, the way one honors their parent when they're in Olam Haza versus Olam Haba is very different, but as long as we are alive, that mitzvah is incumbent upon us. This is a very difficult mitzvah. Furthermore, it may involve deep-seated conflict. It may require constant vigilance and awareness. Even if your father hurls insights at you, you must remain silent. Even if he takes your wallet and throws it into the sea, you may utter no word of shaming or protest. This is an example that Rabbi Eliezer gives in Maseches Kedushin 32a to show how far Kibud Av V'Em goes. So which mitzvah is lighter? What would you say? And which mitzvah is weightier? I mean, I think anybody, you know, like, just logically, right? Shiluach HaKein is easier and certainly requires not a lifetime investment. Kibud Av V'Em is a lifetime of avoda. Interestingly, says Mr. Irving Bunim, for other mitzvos, the Torah does not reveal what the reward is. But for these two, the rewards are explicitly stated. And what are the rewards? for both of these mitzvahs, you know. Laman ya'arichun yamecha. So what does the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah tells us, have a zahar b'mitzvah kala kevachamura. And this piece by Mr. Irving Budim, I was very happy when I found it. It was actually the last sefer I left when preparing shir, but I think it's so clarifying, and it's very helpful. Have a zahar b'mitzvah kala kevachamura. Just because you invest less in a mitzvah, and clearly you invest less in shiluach hakein than in kibbutz of aim, so Ribbono Shel Olam uses these two mitzvahs, which are so on the opposite ends of the spectrum of difficulty, of avoda, of investing of yourself, to teach you that God has a calculation you can't fathom. Laman ya'arichun yamecha, for sending away, shalech tishalech esa'im v'sabanim tikachach. Laman ya'arichun yamecha, for a lifetime of kibbutz of aim. That's so hard, this is so easy. You're not God, you don't know his scales. That's exactly what Rabbi tells you. She'ein ato yodeh matan tzcharen shel mitzvos. So David HaMelech says, like we saw in the Medrash, we entered the whole Medrash, Simon Aleph, Tanchuma. I'm not afraid of the heavy mitzvos. I know they're weighty. I ask shailas. I try and treat them carefully. I'm afraid of the light mitzvos. Maybe those I didn't take seriously enough. It's not a lifetime of investment. It's not a lifetime of work. Maybe those I didn't take seriously enough in my avodas Hashem. And that is what I am afraid of. Says Mr. Irving Bunim, this proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that the measure of reward has nothing to do with the ease or difficulty that you invest in the mitzvah. We cannot determine the importance of a mitzvah by proposing to know God's cheshbonus. I'm skipping a little because I see the time. Okay. Okay, let's go. I'm not going to address the comment right now just because I'm starting to run out of time. I want to finish. This is indeed the verdict of King Shlomo at the conclusion of Kohelas. Sof davar hakol nishma. Es ha'alokim yirev es mitzvos av tishmar. I put on the screen before, I remember. Kohelas 12:13. Ki zeh kol ha'adam. What's kol ha'adam? Why doesn't it just say ki zeh ha'adam? Keeping the mitzvos, the kalos, the light, the easy, the not serious, non-investment of time, the quick, and keeping the heavy ones, keeping all of the mitzvos, makes you a whole man, an integrated man. A whole man implies that all of your organs and all of your arteries are intact. We should observe all the mitzvos with equal attention and equal care, because only all of the mitzvos can help develop and realize man his entirety. We can only come to shleimus as mitzvos of tishmar. There's not a clause, only keep the serious ones. As ha'alokim yireve etz mitzvos of, which mitzvos of? All of them. Kizeh kol ha'adam. If you want to be a complete person, what is required of us is that we keep all of mitzvos of the Torah. And he says one more thing. The good deed itself brings a consequence. It leads to new opportunities for further mitzvos. For example, you may be called upon to be the 10th man for a minyan. So you were going to shul anyways, and you don't think it's such a mitzvah chamura, and you don't think it's so weighty. You were going to shul anyways, and they called you out from the street. They said, can you come in, and you're the 10th man? Okay, very nice. It seems a light mitzvah. The initial act may be kala, small, but think of the great mitzvah your attendance leads to. Reciting the Kedusha, listening to Torah, giving charity. Conversely, what appears to be a small avera may lead to very many other great offenses. So this is an alternative psha. It may begin as a mitzvah kala, but ena tayode matan tzcharen shel mitzvos, because there will be a snowball effect. Your one little mitzvah will lead to a much larger series of mitzvos, which will bring great reward beyond anything that you can comprehend. So therefore, v'haya ekev tishmun al mitzvosai. Which mitzvos? Mitzvos kala sha'adam dash ba'akevav. If you listen to those, I'll do for you. What does Rabbi tell us? Have a zahir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura she'ena tayodeh matan tzcharen shel mitzvos. What makes kol ha'adam? It's mitzvosav tishmar. Which mitzvos? All of them. So the next time the opportunity comes to our hand, a small one, a big one, an easy one, a difficult one, a light one, a heavy one, don't say I'm going to pass this up and wait for the next thing to come along. Because we are not the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Torah tells us the reward of Shiluach HaKein, imagine, is the same reward as Kibbutz of Eim. So I think that Chana Wasserman tonight fulfilled the beautiful mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em and giving Analia Neshama and her family to her mother-in-law's Neshama. May the Neshama of Bina Bas Arya Kohen Ela Hashem merit Analia and the Schus of her 24th Yartzeit. I wish everybody a week and a Shabbos of Besuros Tovos and a wonderful uplifting week. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll continue next week. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you.